Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Darren, Don, and Chase on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. Sun is out. Nice weather. Got a lot of rain yesterday. Lots of rain.
And last
Especially
night.
Especially last night.
Helped me sleep, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like it when it rains at night. I can sleep.
Yep.
Eddie Rabbit, cue it up. I love a rainy night.
I love a rainy night. There you go.
What about thunder, though?
I'll usually sleep through it, but there are times. A few weeks ago, it woke me up. And I don't know if it woke me up or if it woke Sawyer up, who then woke me up.
But yeah, usually the dogs.
They don't like that.
They don't like it. They don't love it. So where are you guys? Did you know where I was going with that? Because I'm sure you saw the same stuff that I did. I was a little surprised the more Romo and Nance did Titans games, you know, the more you start seeing people criticizing Romo, and it's like, who do you want better than him?
I think he does. And look, I was one of those people that I didn't necessarily dislike Phil Simms, but I think he does a better job than Phil Simms.
Romo is the undisputed hottest guy in the industry right now.
I know, but I was amazed at all the criticism from
Because you have some people that don't like him knowing what the play is going to be and the X's and O's. There are some people that don't get it, I guess, so they don't like it.
But this is my thought is, as I watched, he's A, very knowledgeable to begin with, but B, the more he does, the more he understands deeply the Titans. This is what you want, right? When you want your team, when you get your team in the spotlight games, you get the spotlight announcers and you're interested in what they see.
I was fine
from the
with
team.
It.
I think he showed a very good knowledge, which advanced from the handful of times they did them before. Like opening day against the Browns, most of their stuff was on the Browns. Right? Most of their storylines
were on the
Browns.
They were the
hot
thing.
There was a lot of the Titans just happened to be there. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of storylines on them.
Yep.
I think that was very different. I think they understood. I think Romo understood the Titans a lot better by the time the end of the season rolled around. So,
well, there was a reason they were doing that
people
game.
The more you watch,
they
right?
weren't there for the Titans. There's a reason
right.
they were doing that game.
But I'm using that as an example of what do you want?
What is the
you can expose almost any announcer on the little stuff.
No
when
question.
You watch a team every week, which the Titans fans they watch every week, right? There are going to be times where you have knowledge of something that the announcers who are there every so often don't have. They can't have, right? They can't know everything. So, like,
they meet with the home team on Friday and the visiting team on Saturday. I mean, that's all the time they get.
They work extremely hard to be knowledgeable, but they can't know as much as, say, Mike Keith and Dave McGinnis. They're not going to know.
Well, and like from a hockey standpoint, they don't know as much as you and Mace.
Right, and that we get that every time that the team is on NBC, right? That's just it's part of it when you show it to the national audience. I'll give you one. I used to spot for whoever came through there, right? Dick Enberg or Kevin Harlan or Don Crickey, whoever it was at the time. I'll never forget one time I politely, believe me, I was treading lightly. I was a young guy. This was during the Titans' heyday. They were playing. They had signed Carl Pickens, right?
Right.
And Yancey Thigpen was on the team as well. We know the deal, the storyline. They were often injured. Neither one of them really stuck. And there was the year, I can't, probably 2000.
That was the year Pickens was here.
They were both on the roster. But it was clear that beyond that next year, they could be cut, right? It was well talked, especially Pickens, right? He was sort of at the end of the rope. But they were signed like the old Floyd Reese trick, fill in the blank. If you want a 3-year deal, a 4-year deal, we'll put it on there. But we have the chance to get out of it after the first year. That was very evident to anybody who was watching the Titans. So I politely talked to the Hall of Famer, Dan Dierdorf, during a break. And I said, we talk about this a lot here in Nashville, that they could be out from under those contracts of Thigpen and Pickens. I tried to explain it, and you know, you got 1 minute during the break to do it. He looked at me like I had no idea what I was talking about. Like, who are you to tell me about Carl Pickens? Why would they sign Carl Pickens if they only wanted him 1 year? And it was whatever he was rationalizing. It's like, all right, man, go ahead.
Like, I'm just trying to tell you.
That's dumb on his part. You're somebody that's in the market.
But he doesn't know, he doesn't know who I am.
I understand.
He didn't know that I was a regular sports talk show host that covered the team. He doesn't know whether I'm there or just showing up to.
The good ones show up to markets and they know people to talk to that are in that market. The good ones do that.
The ones that care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was not the first game I had worked with Deardorff, so I felt comfortable enough to say, hey, I'm trying to help you out here, you know, in a nice way. But the good ones do as much. But what my point is, you can't know everything. If I were to jump into a booth and do the Ducks and the Kings, I would work my tail off to know what's going on with the Ducks and the Kings.
But you would have Anaheim and LA's fan base going, who is this bozo? He doesn't know us.
I would be talking to everybody I could, like the announcers for both teams. I would try to get as much knowledge. But there's no way.
No way.
There's no way that something wouldn't slip through the cracks during the game where the Ducks fans or the Kings fans or both would say, this guy has no clue, man. He doesn't know that so-and-so just scored 3 goals last week or something. Something is going to slip through the cracks.
But why do we expect that? I don't understand why every time.
Because people like to get on Twitter and complain about stuff.
What did you think was going to happen?
Oh, wow, we exposed so-and-so. That's what Twitter does. Huh? It's part of Twitter. We love Twitter, and there's some things about Twitter we don't love. But that's part of it.
You're right. It's every
so all these
by
guys.
The way, Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, here we go.
It'll
happen.
I didn't like them during the Preds game. Like, yeah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I mean, why would you want a national person over your local broadcasting? Of course, they don't know the same about your team. Of course, they don't know the ins and outs. Of course, they don't know maybe the correct pronunciation of every name. What did you expect? Who pulls that off? Who just trots into another market and acts like and knows
Barry?
Just as much as do what?
You said trots. Well, Barry.
I see what you did there. And knows just as much as the local crew.
But you're not expecting that, and that's not the point of having him on NBC. The point of having him on NBC is you're getting national exposure. I would love to have, you know, Willie and Chris or Pete and Hal do the games every night, but that's you get those 12 games like they've gotten the last few years because the team has had success, and NBC wants to showcase Nashville. That's good for the city, good for the product. It's not about the announcers, whether they know something or – I mean, half the time they don't. They don't watch the
– you hold them to a high standard. You want those national announcers to be up to speed as much as you would
now,
hope.
Now, Doc Emmerich,
right?
He does his homework, and you can tell.
Sure, but he's still going to not wade into areas that he can't know. He's going to do the best he – possibly
but
can.
When we saw him at the Winter Classic, what was he doing, you know, with us?
Talking to Pete.
Yep. He does it every time.
Yep.
He trusts Pete. He's gonna pick Pete's brain,
like
tell him what's been going on with the team.
The good ones will do that.
Yeah.
Smart.
And so therefore, you listen to him and you go, okay, you can tell he's done his homework.
Speaking of Pete,
we'll head
to St. Louis in the third hour after you just made the list. And we'll talk to Pete Weber because he's there for the All-Star festivities. So we'll talk to Pete at around 12:30. We will come back. I think Orlando, right, is the destination?
Mobile. Teron's in Mobile.
He is.
Senior Bowl. You look very confused.
I thought it was in Orlando. No?
The Senior Bowl?
The Pro Bowl is in Orlando.
The Senior Bowl is in Mobile.
The Pro Bowl is in Orlando.
Yes.
But Teron
is there really a difference between Mobile and Orlando?
Slightly.
Okay.
A little bit.
You should know.
I've been to both.
One might be, you know, the wallet might be a little bit lighter in Orlando.
If you
go to certain places.
Orlando. Let's just say this. If you go to a certain area of Orlando, your wallet is definitely
very
gonna be lighter.
Very
and
light.
Depending on how good you are at the tables, your wallet could be lighter in Mobile, too.
Oh, I forgot about that aspect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We will come back and we will head to Mobile. Teron Davenport is standing by. We talk to him next. Hour number two, Darren, Donica, Chase on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. Sun is out. Nice weather. Got a lot of rain yesterday. Lots of rain.
And last
night. Especially last night.
Helped me sleep, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like it when it rains at night. I can sleep.
Yep.
Eddie Rabbit, cue it up. I love a rainy night.
I love a rainy night. There you go.
What about thunder, though?
I'll usually sleep through it, but there are times. There, a few weeks ago, it woke me up. And I don't know if it woke me up or if it woke Sawyer up, who then woke me up.
But yeah, usually the dogs.
They don't like that.
They don't like it. They don't love it. So where are you guys? Did you know where I was going with that? Because I'm sure you saw the same stuff that I did. I was a little surprised the more Romo and Nance did Titans games, you know, the more you start seeing people criticizing Romo, and it's like, who do you want better than him?
I think he does. And look, I was one of those people that I didn't necessarily dislike Phil Simms, but I think he does a better job than Phil Simms. So
Romo is the undisputed hottest guy in the industry right now. Don't you think in that job?
I know, but I was amazed at all the criticism from
because you have some people that don't like him knowing what the play is going to be and the X's and O's. There are some people that don't get it, I guess, so they don't like it.
But this is my thought is, as I watched, he's A, very knowledgeable to begin with, but B, the more he does, the more he understands deeply the Titans. This is what you want, right? When you want your team, when you get your team in the spotlight games, you get the spotlight announcers, and you're interested in what they see.
I was fine
with
team.
It. I think he showed a very good knowledge, which advanced from the handful of times they did them before. Like opening day against the Browns, most of their stuff was on the Browns, right? Most of their storylines were on the Browns.
They were the hot
and there was a lot of the Titans just happened to be there. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of storylines on them.
Yep.
I think that was very different. I think they understood. I think Romo understood the Titans a lot better by the time the end of the season rolled around. So,
well, there was a reason they were doing that
game. The more you watch,
they
weren't
there for the Titans. There's a reason they were doing that game.
But I'm using that as an example of what do you want?
What is the
you can expose almost any announcer on the little stuff.
No
when you
question.
Watch a team every week, which the Titans fans, they watch every week, right? There are going to be times where you have knowledge of something that the announcers who are there every so often don't have. They can't have, right? They can't know everything. So, like,
they meet with the home team on Friday and the visiting team on Saturday. I mean, that's all the
and
time they get.
They work extremely hard to be knowledgeable, but they can't know as much as, say, Mike Keith.
Yeah,
and Dave McGinnis, they're not going to know.
Well, like from a hockey standpoint, they don't know as much as you and Mace.
Right, and that we get that every time that the team is on NBC. Right, that's just it's part of it when you show it to the national audience. I'll give you one. I used to spot for whoever came through there, right? Dick Enberg or Kevin Harlan or Don Crickey, whoever it was at the time. I'll never forget one time. I politely, believe me, I was treading lightly. I was a young guy, this was during the Titans' heyday. They were playing. They had signed Carl Pickens, right?
Right.
And Yancey Thigpen was on the team as well. We know the deal, the storyline. They were often injured. Neither one of them really stuck. And there was the year. I can't. It was probably 2000.
The year Pickens was here.
They were both on the roster, but it was clear that beyond that next year, they could be cut. Right, it was well talked, especially Pickens. Right, he was sort of at the end of the rope, but they were signed like the old Floyd Reese trick: fill in the blank. If you want a 3-year deal, a 4-year deal, we'll put it on there. But we have the chance to get out of it after the first year. That was very evident to anybody who was watching the Titans. So I politely talked to the Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf during a break, and I said, "We talk about this a lot here in Nashville that they could be out from under those contracts of Thigpen and Pickens." I tried to explain it, and you know, you got 1 minute during the break to do it. He looked at me like I had no idea what I was talking about. Like, who are you to tell me about Carl Pickens? Why would they sign Carl Pickens if they only wanted him 1 year? And it was whatever he was rationalizing. It's like, all right, man, go ahead.
Like, I'm just trying to tell you.
That's dumb on his part. You're somebody that's in the market.
But he doesn't know who I am.
I understand.
He didn't know that I was a regular sports talk show host that covered the team. He doesn't know whether I'm there or just showing up to.
The good ones show up to markets and they know people to talk to that are in that market. The good ones do that.
The ones that care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was not the first game I had worked with Dierdorf, so I felt comfortable enough to say, hey, I'm trying to help you out here, you know, in a nice way. But the good ones do, as much. But what my point is, you can't know everything. If I were to jump into a booth and do the Ducks and the Kings, I would work my tail off to know what's going on with the Ducks and the Kings.
But you would have Anaheim and LA's fan base going, who is this bozo? He doesn't know us.
I would be talking to everybody I could, like the announcers for both teams. I would try to get as much knowledge. But there's no way.
No way.
There's no way that something wouldn't slip through the cracks during the game where the Ducks fans or the Kings fans or both would say, this guy has no clue, man. He doesn't know that so-and-so just scored 3 goals last week or something. Something is going to slip through the cracks.
But why do we expect that? I don't understand why every time.
Because people like to get on Twitter and complain about stuff.
What did you think was going to happen?
Oh, wow, we exposed so-and-so. That's what Twitter does. Huh? It's part of Twitter. We love Twitter, and there's some things about Twitter we don't love. But that's part of it.
You're right. It's every
so all these guys.
Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, here we go.
It'll happen. I didn't like them during the Preds game. You shouldn't. I mean, why would you want a national person over your local broadcasting? Of course, they don't know the same about your team. Of course, they don't know the ins and outs. Of course, they don't know maybe the correct pronunciation of every name. What did you expect? Who pulls that off? Who just trots into another market and acts like and knows
Barry?
Just as much as do what?
He said trots and Barry.
I see what you did there. And knows just as much as the local crew.
But you're not expecting that, and that's not the point of having him on NBC. The point of having him on NBC is you're getting national exposure. I would love to have, Willie and Chris or Pete and Hal do the games every night, but that's you get those 12 games like they've gotten the last few years because the team has had success, and NBC wants to showcase Nashville. That's good for the city, good for the product. It's not about the announcers, whether they know something. Half the time they don't. They don't watch the
– you hold them to a high standard. You want those national announcers to be up to speed as much as you would
hope. Now, Doc Emmerich,
right?
He does his homework, and you can tell.
Sure, but he's still going to not wade into areas that he can't know. He's going to do the best he – possibly
but
can.
When we saw him at the Winter Classic, what was he doing, with us?
Talking to Pete.
Yep. He does it every time.
Yep.
He trusts Pete. He's gonna pick Pete's brain,
like
tell him what's been going on.
The good ones will do that.
Yeah.
Smart.
And so therefore you listen to him and you go, okay, you can tell he's done his homework.
Speaking of Pete,
we'll head
to St. Louis in the third hour, after you just made the list. And we'll talk to Pete Weber because he's there for the All-Star festivities. So we'll talk to Pete at around 12:30. We will come back. I think Orlando, right, is the destination?
Mobile. Teron's in Mobile.
He is.
Senior Bowl. You look very confused.
I thought it was in Orlando. No?
The Senior Bowl?
The Pro Bowl is in Orlando.
The Senior Bowl is in Mobile.
The Pro Bowl is in Orlando.
Yes.
But Teron
is there really a difference between Mobile and Orlando?
Slightly.
Okay.
A little bit.
You should know. Your family...
I've been to both.
One might be, the wallet might be a little bit lighter in Orlando.
If you
go to certain places.
Well,
in Orlando.
Let's just say this. If you go to a certain area of Orlando, your wallet is definitely
very
light. Lighter.
Very
and
light.
Depending on how good you are at the tables, your wallet could be lighter in Mobile, too.
Oh, I forgot about that aspect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We will come back and we will head to Mobile. Teron Davenport is standing by. We talk to him next. We were shouting earlier in the first hour of the program. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. The gang is all here in our studios. Teron Davenport is not with us in studio. Normally he is, but right now he's down in Mobile, Alabama, where the Senior Bowl is set to take place. TD, what's up?
What's going on?
Have you been? You've been working the circuit down in Mobile?
Hey, doing what we do.
So you've got? Do you have a group? Do you have helpers?
I always take the group approach. So it's I'll say we, but it's been a good trip. That's for sure.
He and Emery Hunt holding it down.
That's right. See, my guy Chase knows the deal.
I know.
I appreciate that.
I know who you're with.
Yes, right.
So Justin Herbert is the guy who's going to get the most attention, I would suspect. The big quarterback.
Yeah.
the big rangy quarterback from Oregon. What have you seen out of him down there since you've been in Mobile?
Well, I think he is a big quarterback, but there's still a lot that could fill out with his frame. He still has like a young man, like a kid's body, you know, so he's going to have to fill out, especially if he's going to be playing in the league where, you know, these guys rushing the passer, they look to inflict punishment. So when you look at him in practice, he had a solid – he was consistent. I'll give him that. One of the things up until yesterday, he was really mostly just checking down. And my thing is when you're in 7-on-7, when you're in periods that are designed for you to showcase your talent, that are designed for you to give your receiver shots, he didn't do that, right? But yesterday I felt like that light bulb kind of hit, and you saw him pushing the ball downfield to some of the receivers, and it got a lot better when he was connecting with them. I just didn't like how things were initially with him. But he was the first quarterback. Like, he was working ahead of Jalen Hurts. And like I said, he's consistent. But I definitely think that Hurts looked better. I think that when you look at Hurts and what he was doing, he was the whole week pushing the ball down the field. And there were some throws that were off, but at the same time, that's going to happen when you're working with new receivers. So I think if you look at that South team and the quarterbacks, I think Hurts was the better guy. But rest assured, Justin Herbert was a guy that everyone was paying attention to. And just you have the soft demeanor from him. I talked to him a little bit after practice on Wednesday, and I didn't get a good feel. Like, it made me wonder how he would be going into a huddle with 10 grown men and telling them what they need to do. I'm not sure how that would work initially. So that kind of gave me the feeling like he's a guy that may not be a day one starter.
Okay, let's go off that then, because people are going to talk about his big arm. People are going to talk about his big frame. He's 6'6". But like you said, he hasn't exactly filled out to this point. So people are going to love that part about him. But the people that I've talked to, you're down there, you've talked to him, that I've heard is more on the quieter side. You know, doesn't have a whole lot to say. And I guess I want to know from you. I mean, that's kind of what we used to say about Mariota. He really can just kind of led by example, really wasn't really much of a rah-rah vocal guy. Where are you at on what's the right balance on what you want your franchise quarterback to be? You don't have to be the demonstrative Tom Brady when he's mad, or Phillip Rivers barking at receivers. But there is kind of a, you know, kind of a maybe an in-between. I don't think you want somebody who doesn't talk at all and just – nothing but lead by example, and maybe you don't have to have the other extreme. What's the right balance in your mind?
Yeah, for sure. I think the right balance is that guy that has no problem doing that when it's time to do it, but you also have to know when to scale it back, right? So let's say A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, they both ran routes, and both of them were open, and they both came back and you know, said, hey, look, you know, Tannehill, I was open, get me the ball. Sometimes it's just like, okay, you know what? I got you next time, right? But then what ends up happening is it happens again, and then he comes back yelling. You have to be able to kind of calm that down. You know what I mean? Like, you have to know the balance of when it's time to be able to dial it up, and then when it's time to just fall back and let somebody vent. And you can't be, you know, both extremes, like one extreme or the other. You know what I mean? So I think that's something that, like I said, I just, when you look at Herbert and you put him in a situation, I just don't know how he would deal with a receiver or with, you know, just being opposite a guy like Terrell Suggs, talking trash to him before a snap. I don't know how, and I don't know the kid, so I'm not going to say that he'll wither under that. I just wonder how he would deal with that just after interacting with him a few times.
Yep. We're talking with TD down in Mobile, Alabama. Senior Bowl is tomorrow. Are you still in love with Jordan from Utah State?
Hey,
wow!
See what I did there?
It remains the same. And that was pretty slick. Yeah, I am still in love with Jordan. You know, I think he's a guy that has so much potential, right? And you look, again, going back to throwing the ball down the field, he was connecting with there's a guy named Antonio Gandy Golden, who happened to work with Maurice Harris, And Maurice Harris actually, in trying to help him improve his route running and improve his technique, showed him tape with DK Metcalf and the Titans' own A.J. Brown. But those two, Jordan Love and AGG, that's what they call them, these guys were connecting. And there's just a nice seeing it in person. That guy really puts something on the football when he throws it. He does need to improve on some of those mid-range to intermediate throws, right, that deep dig and those dagger routes, that type of thing. But if he could get that together, I think he's going to be an outstanding quarterback. Obviously, this past year with 17 interceptions, that's a big-time thing to be aware of. But I talked to him about that, and I kind of wonder if trying to do too much is what ended up happening to him, you know, too much with too little. And we kind of got into the balance of being able to, you know, try to make big plays but not try to push it. And we'll definitely be talking about that on Talking with TD. He has been secured as a guest, so this is going to be a great draft season.
There we go. There's a little preview. Last thing on my end. Kickers' lives matter, too. They are humans. no matter what D-May says, their lives matter. There is a young man from Georgia Southern that's getting people's attention, and I don't know where that stands. We haven't really talked about it much with you. We've talked a lot about the kicking woes of the Titans. Is that something that may interest them? And tell us a little bit about, I mean, was his last name Bass? I mean, he is, I mean, evidently hitting 58 and 60 yarders right down the middle with 10 yards to spare. What are you hearing on this young man?
Yeah, Bass is definitely impressive. And it's funny because, you know, you normally don't give a lot of attention to kickers. And the guy that everybody coming into this week was focused on was Rodrigo Blankenship. But, yeah, Bass has come in, and you're right. He's hit some 58, 60-yarders, and he's doing it with ease, you know, and it's going up into the stands when he kicks those. So he's definitely impressive. I don't think that's something that the Titans will end up addressing in the draft. I don't think there's that guy like a Dustin Hopkins, you know, that came out of Florida State a few years ago, or a Luis Aguayo, a guy that you will use a draft pick on. I think if they do address that position, it's going to be undrafted free agent. But frankly, they have something in Greg Joseph, and then just see how Suckup is able to come back. I think they should enter camp with those guys and be fine.
Talking to Teron Davenport, talking with TD, chasing TD tonight from 6 to 8, even though Teron will join us for a segment because he's traveling at the Senior Bowl. I want to ask you about a couple of tight ends. Jared Pinkney, obviously, we know quite well here from Vanderbilt. I know he's been there. And then Bryson Hopkins, that we also know, the son of Brad Hopkins from Purdue.
Yeah.
What has stood out to you about those guys? Because tight end could possibly be a position that the Titans look at.
Yeah, both of those guys stood out. Actually, each of them were voted on their prospective teams. They were voted as the tight end of the week. So they stood out. Hopkins... it's funny, how can I put this? So initially I kept missing him because I didn't realize how light his skin was. So I kept missing him. But it was funny because I would peek over there at the tight ends, and then I would say, man, who's that guy? And then I looked more closely and I saw the Purdue helmet and knew it was him. But he's someone that in team period, they used him a lot in the red zone. And it got to a point where he started to kind of be a decoy, right? They will line him up, and he'll run a route like a corner route, and he will take the defenders with him. And then you had the little in-breaking route slip underneath it, and that was what they were going to. So he did a good job. Pinkney did his thing too. But I want to tell you about a tight end named Harrison Bryant, right, from Florida Atlantic, 6'5", 240. He has like that Jason Witten-like ability just as far as like at the top of the route. You see him lean inside and then break outside or vice versa. Long arms. It's nearly impossible to overthrow this guy. He really stood out. Some of the scouts that we spoke to down here said that he reminds them of George Kittle, you know, and just because of his combination, size, strength, and catching ability. So I think he's a guy to definitely look at.
I'm just going to throw these three guys all together and get your thoughts on them. But your first chance really to see Juwan Jennings from Tennessee up close and personal, but also Kalijah Lipscomb from Vanderbilt, and then somebody that I remember covering on Friday nights here in Nashville, Van Jefferson.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Juwan Jennings was actually really impressed. I was impressed with how he caught the football with his hands, and then also at his size, you know, getting in and out of his breaks. They did a lot of box drills and things like that, which was awesome because it allowed guys like Jennings, guys like 6'6", guys like Colin Johnson, to show that they could, at their size, get in and out of breaks. Now, obviously, Jennings isn't 6'6". He's, what, 6'3", I believe. But just he was definitely impressive, and they used him a lot in the slot, which was good to see because normally they put the smaller guys there, but you got to see him working there. As far as Lipscomb is concerned, it remains the same. My opinion about him is unchanged. That dude has supreme footwork. He catches everything with his hands. He's a very slick receiver, if you follow me, and he just seems to have a really good ability to settle into zones and you know, make himself a good target for the quarterback. It's just unfortunate that, and I talked to Coach Mason about this, their quarterback situation really held back some outstanding prospects, right? So it's good to see them come down here and show off. Now, as for Jefferson, man.
I was watching some of the videos you put.
That guy is the way he'll run a comeback route, right? Like he'll sell that goal and he snaps it back and comes breaks back to the sideline. And just the way he's able to, you know, use the toe drag to stay in bounds when he catches, he's something, man. He's something special. And he was showing out. He and Holmes from UCLA, they were going at it, but he was giving Holmes everything he wanted. But he's a guy that catches with his hands. He's very consistent. The route running is very smooth. And you never really know where he's going to go. There were a few things that I noticed about him as far as his feet and how he would position himself before the snap. And he's going to be on the show. All of these guys that I mentioned, they're going to be on the show. So we have a bunch, but that's something I'm going to talk to him about, just being able to not have a tell, right? You don't want the corner to know what you're doing just based off of your alignment. And that's something that I saw, so I'll definitely talk to him about that. But he's an outstanding receiver. Sean Jefferson, obviously, you know, is his pop. And I remember watching Jefferson. As a matter of fact, back in 94, 95, I used to use that Charger team and give guys the business in Madden, you know, with him and Tony Martin. And Natron means business.
And then we know the Titans are going to be looking for an edge rusher and quite a few down there. For the Senior Bowl, is there anybody that you were going in wanting to look at, and is there somebody that has stood out that you weren't that wasn't necessarily on your radar?
Yeah, there are a few guys coming in. I wanted to look at Alton Robinson from Syracuse, and he's someone I got to talk to him a little bit, and he could be an edge guy, like on the line or detached. He had a pretty solid week. It was just like, I didn't see an array of moves. Like, he just really likes to rely on power. So he's somebody. Terrell Lewis from Alabama, though, that's the guy right there. 6'5", 250, and he's long. And he knows how to use that length to just kind of get his hands, like get on the offensive lineman first and then just steer him. Or even there were a few times I saw him literally fold a guy in half, like folding backwards. And he's someone that also he developed a spin move. And he had that on display down here. So that's a guy I think if they wanted to get in the bottom of the first round, they could do that, or even trade back down into, like, you know, the top of the second. And I think he would be there if some of the other pass rushers are gone when they pick at 28 or 29, wherever they pick. The other guy, and this guy I know, I talked to him. They met with him. The Titans met with him down here, and that's Bradley Anae from Utah. And he's just more like a speed to power, bull rush, high motor guy. He told me that a lot of things for his game, he patterns after Ryan Kerrigan. So to kind of give you an idea of what type of skill set he brings, but he stood out, and he's someone, like I said, they talked to. And the thing is, you want to look a little bit more deeply into some of these meetings down here because of the way the schedule has changed at the combine. Everything, the workouts and stuff are in the evening, and they cut back meetings. I think 12 to 15 meetings have been reduced. So a lot of these meetings here in Mobile are a bit more important than they used to be. So you do want to stay tuned. And I will say, I know a quarterback that the Titans, actually GM John Robinson, specifically met with. And we'll say that for talking with TD, though.
Mm. Little tease, too. Teron, good stuff as always. Enjoy the rest of your stay in Mobile. We'll see you when you get back.
For sure. Appreciate you.
All right. Talking with TD, Teron Davenport. He's the NFL Nation reporter for the Titans for ESPN.com. Talking with TD is his podcast. Friday nights, tonight from 6 until 8 o'clock, Chase and Teron.
Chase and Calvin tonight, because Teron will be traveling, but he is going to join us for a segment. And then I believe next week is the season finale before we take a little break, before we get into draft time. So
there you go. All right. We will come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. Don't forget, you just made the list at noon. We'll also check in with Pete Weber in St. Louis in the third hour. But first, Willie's got a word about the good folks at Lee Company.
All right. Let me tell you about Lee Company. 615-567-1000. It's Friday, and I know your eye is on the weekend if you're out there listening, if you're driving around. But it also, you might have that feeling. I get this feeling sometimes, things that haven't gotten done during the week that you really don't want to put off, but you're kind of thinking, should I just blow it off? Well, maybe it's something maintenance-wise. This happens a lot, whether it's at your house or at your business. Lee Company can help you with that. They're a phone call away. They're an online appointment away. Maybe you're not even in the mood to talk to anybody. Well, you can go online, leecompany.com, and make an appointment. You'll feel good about yourself. You'll have the task done, and it'll be on the agenda. And you won't have to be sitting there going, you know what, I really need to call somebody and get this fixed. Whether it's work or at home, Lee Company can help you with that. So go right to leecompany.com when you get back to work, or if you're at work right now, make that online appointment, and you'll be good to go. 615-567-1000 for Lee Company. Just part of all the services that they provide. They're a huge sponsor of the Nashville Predators. 615-567-1000 for Lee Company. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Who doesn't remember this video? Yeah, this was a music video. They still make videos, but does anyone, who watches, how do you see videos today?
YouTube. Not so much on MTV anymore.
No,
but mostly
no,
YouTube.
There is no.
Is
you
where
can YouTube
I can
any video.
That.
Any video.
Are there, clearly they're still doing them, so clearly people are watching, but like, how many people are watching videos now on YouTube? A lot? Well, the songs?
Yeah. Pull up a song and I'll guarantee you there's millions of hits.
Really?
Yeah. Depending on what song, of course. You want to? Okay, let's take this one. Let's just see how many hits on YouTube it has.
Let's do Post Malone Circles. Okay, look it up.
That's gonna be huge.
Okay, right. I just want to know.
All right, but let's say, how about Mental Health?
But we remember this one, right? Well, we didn't need to.
Well, let's just compare.
YouTube it.
Let's see, Quiet Riot, Mental Health. Then there's different, you know, there's a couple different ones. Like one will have, and then there'll be another person that put that up there. So, video official. Let's just use the word official on there, okay?
Maybe hit mute.
15,636,914.
Okay, that's
for
a
Quiet
lot.
Riot?
For Quiet Riot.
Okay. That was the
Post Malone, I'll bet it is over 100 million.
100 million.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, I could see that. He's big.
Post Malone is 154 million.
There
we just
go.
Looked that up back here.
There you go.
There you go. And that's just one side. That's just one.
That's
post.
Just for the
one
watch
post.
The video.
Yeah.
Look
just
up,
to watch
like a,
the
video.
Whatever.
That's just the official one. There's other people that post them up. There you have another, however many.
Like Taylor Swift.
Oh, ooh, God. That's a good one.
I bet
yeah.
she's got.
We'll get
ton.
On that.
Does anybody have a billion?
Does this bring back memories right here? This guy.
Oh yeah. You're showing me the Quiet
yeah,
Riot.
Yeah, the Quiet
video.
Riot video. I mean, so yes, the people do apparently do watch the videos.
I think Hips Don't Lie by Shakira is a billion. I think that one
a
has
billion?
Reached. A billion.
Oh, that's a nice video. I'm a fan.
There's many reasons that why that one's probably been a billion.
That's why I'm here for the Super Bowl halftime show. I mean, a little Shakira and J-Lo. Yeah, that's good with me.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, that's going to be a hit for sure.
I don't even care about the music.
So that is an easy way to see whatever video you want to see because it's right there. First come. So there are some alternate channels, some very low frequency channels on your band. If you still are old school and you have a satellite, or you can still get those channels if you want them that actually do play some videos.
Well, MTV's around.
There's MTV2, and there's like
because MTV doesn't show videos.
No, I don't know that they ever the straight up MTV.
They just show the show. They just show ridiculousness.
Yeah, I haven't watched
MTV. Like it's on a loop. I love
why
that
it's even
I
called
that
music
show.
Television.
I have
anymore.
No idea.
I don't even know. Like, what do they have to do with music
love,
half the time?
I would love to poll the audience and ask. You know, I'm going to sound kids today. Ask kids today. If they know what MTV stands for. Because I guarantee you they don't.
It's a good point. I mean,
I don't know that my kids have ever watched MTV. They put the computer on and they're watching their shows, right? Or their videos on YouTube.
Is VH1
or whatever.
Still a thing?
Yeah, it's still out there. Yeah, they show movies all the time.
Yeah, right, they just show movies.
Was VH1 Video Hits?
Video Hits 1, yeah. It was kind of an alternate.
Right.
Now, it's almost like MTV2. I used to you flip back and forth back in the day. You flip back and forth, see what videos on each channel, and if you like one, you stay.
Then they had CMT, you know, for country.
I was off yesterday, so I decided Wednesday night to take in a show that we've been talking about, and I watched it.
You texted
in its entirety. I watched the Aaron Hernandez.
Wow, what did you think? Were you wow? Was it a wow?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, but I mean, I knew a lot of stuff.
I mean, like is one thing.
Did
like,
you learn?
Well, I mean, it's like, were you not gripped by it? I was.
I knew a lot. I knew a lot already.
But
some of the
you knew
stuff,
everything?
No, I didn't know everything. I'm saying I knew a lot of it. Sometimes the
you
best
knew that he had
when,
shot two guys before, or allegedly shot two guys before.
Yeah,
before he played the season.
Yes. A lot of the stuff.
You remember
a lot of
that
had come out.
I just didn't remember.
Yeah.
I didn't remember all that.
That stuff was out there.
And there was some other.
Yes.
Shot the guy?
Yes. And when he was at Florida.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm talking about shot his buddy on the street and his buddy didn't say anything.
Yes.
The drug dealer guy?
Yes. A lot of that stuff. So I knew a lot. But still, I wanted to.
So you read up a lot about it at the time.
Oh,
then.
Yeah.
Because I guess some of this, the details were running together. I was like, what?
But I remember when a lot of that was coming out. There were, you know, allegedly this happened and this happened, and then to see it all in, you know, in the documentary. I mean, that was stuff that you had all heard and then in some cases knew. So I'm with you that
I didn't know the whole family background. That was
family
all
background.
I knew nothing about that. So the brother, the dad, the mom, I didn't know anything.
That was very compelling. And the once his dad died and his mom started dating.
Right. His cousins.
The husband of a relative. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was very compelling.
Yep. Yeah. But, I didn't know any of that stuff.
But also what I think was the most gripping was the insight was the conversations by phone when he was in prison that were all recorded.
Yeah. Yes.
Those were really interesting to listen
especially
to.
Especially with
his fiance, with his confidant, his cousin, who was a key figure, the one with cancer that refused to testify against him, went to jail for it, and then died. I don't want to give up too many spoilers.
Well, here, clearly she was a very shady character to begin with, so there's a reason why. Remember, she's the one who housed the car
for
a year.
I don't want to give up too many details here. I mean, people need to see this. It's only been out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you still should go watch it, even if we're talking about it. It's not up to us to keep it a secret until
it's a documentary, so it's not like it's a plot reveal, right? This is all stuff that has been reported on.
Is it worth it for 3 hours? It's 3 hours, basically.
Oh man,
is it worth it? Yes,
I just think it's gonna win some awards. I think
yes, it's well done. He is what I thought he was. He's not a good person. He was not a good person. He was
well.
I'm not gonna sit here and make excuses for him like a lot of people do. Oh, his football, and his dad, and his mom. They had a screwed up family. Anybody knows me. I don't play that game. I don't play the he brought up in a his background. People have choices in life. And you make those choices. If you want to use your background or whatever as an excuse, look, people grow up with screwed up lives all the time, and they don't turn into basically – he's a serial killer. That's what he is. He was a serial killer. If he didn't get stopped,
you could say that.
He would have continued killing people.
Well, here's the
It was not going to stop.
Along those lines?
It only stopped because he got arrested.
Well, this is the scary part to me out of that. Had he hired the all-star attorney – for the first case.
Right, Baez.
Does he ever go to jail to begin with?
I don't know. Obviously, that guy,
That guy knows what he's doing.
Well, yeah, the guy
it's like
shot
OJ's
in the face.
Dream. OJ's dream
yes.
team, right? They know what they're doing.
The guy shot in the face is a shady, shady character, and you make it all about him. This guy you can't trust anything this guy says because this guy's a lowlife, and you turn all the attention onto him. And that was smart.
Would he have had a similar strategy for the first case, had he hired him right? Because he did not have that ace lawyer in the Odin Lloyd trial. And also, it didn't help that he had the surveillance cameras in his own house that were filming every single thing he did.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was kind of like the Nixon recording everything, like the Watergate.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just you had the evidence right there.
Did you guys feel sorry? I mean,
No.
There's some people like, it's football, it's CTE. Yeah, well, guess what? There's all kinds of people that played football that have CTE. They're still alive, and they're not out there doing that stuff.
Well, they don't know they have it.
Well, but I'm saying that they do. We would find out. I mean,
we would,
Junior Seau
I think you could
did.
Make that assumption.
He didn't go around doing it. He did it to himself, which is very unfortunate. It was really, really sad. And he shot himself in the chest to preserve his head so they could, find out that he indeed was dealing with CTE. But he didn't go on a killing spree before he took his own life. And he had it too. And it's sad because Junior Seau was an incredible, incredible player and was obviously dealing with a lot of stuff, especially life after football. And it's sad. And I feel sorry for, the ones that have to deal with that stuff, but don't give me CTE as the reason it happened or, his dad dying. Those are all tough things, but people have tough things happen in their life and they don't go on killing sprees for years. And like I said, he was a serial killer. If he didn't get stopped, he was going to continue killing people.
And random people in some cases that just looked at him the wrong way.
Right, just spill a drink on him. Spill a drink on him. Just shoot up two guys that just work hard and, have nothing. I mean, really? Senseless.
It's brutal.
Just senseless. But to your point, overall, it was really, really well done. So if you have Netflix, it's there right when you turn on Netflix. You don't have to search for it. It's there. Hit play, reserve 3 hours. You're not going to just watch one episode. Just block off 3 hours and take it all in. It's well worth it.
There are always, you always hear of stories of people having like the secret life that you didn't know about, but to see him, and you can make comparisons to OJ of this superstar football player and with the best team, and then there's just this dark secret, behind it all, and you find out and you're blown away, and it's, I compare it to OJ because once the trial happened and we started seeing the backstory of OJ and Nicole, then you learn all this other stuff. And it just, it's eye-opening. And it's, again, it's stuff that you knew going in, but then to see it all put together, I thought they did a really good job with it. It blows the mind.
Come back and wrap up the second hour next. MTSU has put out there they will rename the arena inside the Murphy Center in the middle of February, February 15th. which has Elijah Campbell turning his head sideways like my German Shepherds do when they hear a weird noise as an MTSU grad. They're going to honor former head coach and director of athletics Jimmy Earle. And the new name will be the Monty Hale / Jimmy Earle Arena. That will take place during the MTSU-UAB basketball game at halftime. So there you go.
Cool.
Coach Earle, I got to know a little bit way back in the day when I was just getting started. Great guy. What a great character.
Was he interested in your play?
No. I don't believe so.
No. That's a, hard no.
I think his coaching days were more or less over by the by that time.
Yeah.
He was more of a, you know, just loved. I can't remember what his exact role was in different things, but he used to go to a lot of games with
who was
with
the
George.
Coach when you was Randy Wheel? No, that's
when Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, who was MTSU's coach when you were Vandy?
David Farrar was the coach at Middle Tennessee.
So this was even pre Randy Wheel.
Jimmy Earle?
No, Coach I'm talking about when you were at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was
Randy
at,
Wheel
who was
replaced David Farrar.
That's what I thought. So he
and
would
then
have been
right
like,
before that, Bruce Stewart had the big. They had some really good teams, but they got caught with some violations. Yeah.
Those are never good.
But Coach Earle, great characters of the game. You know, Ron Bargatze, Coach Earle. I mean, there's that. Just lovers of college basketball, lifers college basketball, just a great guy.
I hope MTSU can turn things around on the hardwoods because they're just woof, 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 woof.
Atrocious would be a nice way to put it.
Atrocious is a word. Yep.
They're
That's one description.
They're in the threes.
Struggle
they're
bus.
In the 300s.
When they travel, it's the struggle bus. When they're at home, it's still the struggle bus.
Yeah.
They are not good.
They're
0-4 in the conference. What are they overall?
4-16.
4-16.
Ugh. Two of those wins are against Division II teams. One's NAIA.
It is brutal. It's sad. Honestly, I'm not here. I don't know Nick McDevitt. But who's the kid from I'm drawing blanks. Elijah, help me. I think he's from Blackman. It's
Rutherford
County.
Donovan Sims. Yeah,
yes.
Blackman High School.
That kid has regressed. Okay,
pretty
he's
bad.
Going
he's had
the,
a rough year.
He's going the wrong direction.
A
he
really
should be
rough
getting.
Year.
He should be getting good or not. He should be leading that team. I mean, he's what a junior now.
He got starts on
he
that team
there.
That went
when
25
Kermit
and
was
eight.
There.
When
yes.
Kermit was there, yeah,
yes. They he was
regressed.
Out there as a freshman. He's going the wrong direction. To me, I don't know. That's coaching or something. That kid should be way better than he is. So
team just hasn't gotten any better either throughout the course of the year. They're having the same problems they did in November when you're playing teams like Mars Hill and giving up a ton of points or 30 points to a player from Mars Hill.
I sat there in that arena.
They're young
against,
though, right?
They got a lot of transfers. They have several seniors and they brought a lot back from last year's team too. I mean, if they improved at the tail end of last year, and they lost a couple guys, but their best players came back. Like Antonio Green came back. He shattered the three-point record in a season from last year, came back, and he's regressed a little bit. Donovan Sims, starter, came back. Reggie Scurry, starter.
That's what stood out to me. Like Sims has been there. His freshman year was their heyday, the last year of Kermit, and they were really good. And I expected this kid to be like, taken over at this point at MTSU. And I sat there against Western and watched him, and I'm like, man, he does not look that good. I mean, he looks like, I don't know. It's not what I expected.
And this year was a chance to take over the conference, too, because the conference as a whole is down. Yep. It's a bad conference this year. And Western Kentucky, who was supposed to be the favorite, had their NBA prospect go down with a knee injury, and he's not coming back all year. He hasn't been playing the entire conference season.
Join most conferences in college basketball. They're all down.
I'll say this, though. I watched a little bit of Tennessee Ole Miss the other night. Ole Miss doesn't look very good either. Kermit's having a rough time there.
This is not a good Ole Miss season.
Yeah, last year was good and I think a surprise for a lot of people, but not so much this year.
Missing Terrence Davis, who is getting starts in Toronto, by the way.
Yeah.
He's actually having a really good season in the NBA.
And Vandy, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
Outlook bleak.
It's a nice way to put it, Willie.
I guess if we had that eight ball that we all had as kids, if you're in our age group, outlook not good is what it would say.
There's 350 Division I teams. You can get buried, man. If you have some tough fortune too, some injuries and stuff, it could just send you south in a hurry. You take for granted sometimes the, you know, teams are going to win year after year. I mean, it's once you sink down too, it makes it tough. You got to. This is going to be a great challenge for Jerry Stackhouse, just getting through this tough time. This is the first year,
yeah,
right? He got dealt some really tough blows. He knew what he was inheriting, but he had a great player, a great player. And now out for the season. It's one thing to lose those guys for 2-3 weeks, but for the entire conference season, save for one game, that's tough. Plus one of the few experienced big men that you have. Not that he's great, but Cleavon Brown is a very big step up from what they have behind him. So those two injuries combined, you are awfully thin.
Zion Williamson, they do not have.
No, they don't.
Can you believe how much hubbub there was over his first game?
Well, yeah, because they've been waiting so long.
I know.
He finally does it.
And it's like the whole NBA world universe just stopped.
I know. Surprised they just didn't go ahead and be like, you know what, he played one game, let's make him an all-star.
What, he played like 22 minutes or something?
Something like that.
I think it was 18 minutes.
18 minutes.
You should have been in here.
22 points.
Oh. You should have been here yesterday when Adam Vingan came in. You know, he was all excited, being the Duke fan that
Zion
he is.
Zion jersey on?
Yeah, didn't have the jersey on. But
has he moved over to a Pelicans fan now?
Probably.
Yeah. Hour number three, we kick off with You Just Made the List. Who or what is on your list? That's next.